Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome back on into 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. That is Anthony Herron. We're here for another hour on The Score this evening. And right now we're going to bring in Eric Ramsey of Legal Sports Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Ramsey. That is Eric with a C. And he will join us now on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Good afternoon, Eric. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. How you guys doing over there? Congrats on the news you have this weekend.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're already...
Cartwheels, backflips, celebrations, galore.
Yeah, cashing in all my stocks and bonds, and I'm going to go straight to the window whenever I can. No. Obviously, this thing kind of came together kind of quickly over the course of the last week or so. Were you surprised, that it did pass, and were you surprised to see how quickly... the whole sports gambling thing kind of came together for Illinois?
Yeah, real surprised. I think that we had this underlying sense that maybe it could be used as a bargaining chip for some of these larger issues, which kind of materialized. But usually when we see a situation like we had Thursday and Friday so far from the finish line running out of time, things usually fall apart rather than come together in those sorts of situations. So yeah, pretty surprised to see that materialize.
I was just checking your Twitter timeline. I see your alternate headline, quote, declining revenue population prompts Illinois lawmakers to legalize weed and sports gambling. And this all happened pretty much in the last 10 minutes, it feels like. So now that it's happened, what's a reasonable expectation for the state of Illinois in the increases that folks might hope for in those items you reference?
Well, it's going to be tough to tell with sports betting what we're looking at for actual state revenue until we get up and rolling. But, you know, just judging based on kind of what we're projecting in similar states, Pennsylvania and a little larger New York, I think something like $75 to $100 million in tax revenue every year is reasonable. That's going to require about $10 or $15 billion in total bets, which seems like a number that's probably within the range of a mature Illinois market in a couple of years.
So how does this bill here that was passed today in Illinois compare to some of the other gambling bills that have passed in other states similar to the ones that you just mentioned? How would you kind of compare and contrast this one to the others?
I'll tell you, I try not to rain on your parade too much, guys, but the industry doesn't love this bill. There's a few provisions in it that kind of stick out as problematic for operators and maybe set some bad long-term precedent for the expansion of sports betting in the U.S. Overall, not terrible, but there are some particulars in this that are uncomfortable for the long-term health of sports betting.
Such as?
Well, we have this official league data mandate that kind of jumps off the page. We're going to let the sports leagues have control over the data used for settling bets. And this, it probably seems like a good thing at a glance. We want sort of an official way to settle bets. But what this really does is empower the leagues as sort of a monopoly over this data. Essentially, they're going to be able to charge whatever they want to, and operators are going to be forced to pay that. It's something that doesn't really have a good precedent in other industries where you'd be forced to pay for something you don't want. And again, not something we really want to see catch on as the standard around the country.
How functionally does something like that normally play out? I mean, we're usually looking at Vegas and Atlantic City as the ones who are setting lines and determining who won and who lost. So how do they normally handle that?
They handle that. So the leagues do provide this data, and they're very good at it. And a lot of bookmakers will purchase this data. But there are also third-party companies that collect this data and would argue that they're every bit as accurate and as timely as the leagues are. So this has become a competitive space. Sports data is sort of the hot little tech and gambling crossover space right now. So there's a lot of companies lining up to provide this data and will not be allowed to compete freely for those roles in Illinois.
Talking to Eric Ramsey right now of LegalSportsReports.com, as well as a contributor to Online Poker Report. And that was one thing, poker in general, that some people checking in with us on the phone line, on the text line earlier, were a little unhappy that this doesn't include a provision for free online, or not free, but legal online poker within the state of Illinois. Why was that kind of a hurdle and not included in this?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Another component that sort of never got into the rotation here. I kind of feel the same way about daily fantasy sports. Both online poker and DFS are sort of, I hate to use the term, light forms of gambling, but they're different than sports betting and full-scale casino gambling. So to see them excluded, yeah, maybe a little bit surprising as well. I'm not sure where the opposition lies to those.
Have other sports had a similar struggle that Illinois did with, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, wanting them to be in perhaps, but then sort of forcing them out at the last moment? How's that played out in other stops where states have been legalizing sports betting?
Well, it's interesting. So far, really, New Jersey is the best example we have. It's the other online state that's fully live and starting to mature. And DraftKings and FanDuel are driving the majority of the revenue to the state. If not for them, the state would be making about a third or maybe 25% of the amount of revenue it's making. So for at least in New Jersey, they're a huge benefit to the market. Time will tell in other states. We have a couple other states that have since legalized online betting that are not live yet, where DraftKings and FanDuel will be competing for a place in the market. So we'll see how this plays out. But in New Jersey, at least, they are a very healthy and active participant of the market there.
So a lot of people were concerned earlier that we talked to as well that this was going to shatter families and increase the divorce rate in the state of Illinois and all of this, you know, oh, my stars, clutch your pearls, well, the world's going to hell and this is sinful and all of that. Is there any evidence of legalized sports gambling on a statewide basis completely crushing the morality and the family, the nuclear family in the United States of America? Is there precedent for that?
Nothing that I've seen. You'll see the, you know, I think we all understand that gambling is something that is prone to addiction, and it's something that needs to be handled in a responsible way by responsible adults. So you'll hear some of statistics cited by anti-gambling organizations and things like that, which may be accurate about the sorts of folks that are affected by gambling. But as far as undermining the fabric of our American society, no, I don't really think there's much concern about that.
And so now with Illinois coming into the party and into the warm waters of sports betting, who's next?
Well, time will tell. I'm up here in New York, and we have a law in place that's going to allow retail betting that we're trying to activate here this year and trying to pass online betting as well. You know, you guys are a huge state. This is a real big day for the industry as a whole, being the third largest state to legalize sports betting. There's not many larger than you that will do this. Texas probably never will. California is a long ways away. So, you know, really, honestly, the whole industry has been watching you guys this session. It's a keystone state for U.S. sports betting, for sure.
Now, I'm a novice. What is retail betting?
Retail betting, in-person betting. So going to a sports book at a casino, essentially.
Okay.
Speaking of casinos, we're going to have six new casinos here put up in the state of Illinois. And as somebody who has, you know, obviously been very well informed upon this, Eric, like you, and has followed it all across the country for a long time, what is usually what you see as the timeline from the casino getting up and running and able to take bets? Because, I mean, it's a huge project, obviously, with everything involved, you know, not only just the construction element, but all of the other red tape that comes along with it. So how quickly do you see some of these casinos sprouting up in Illinois, and how quickly can that happen?
Yeah, actually, we can probably look to Pennsylvania as a reasonable indicator for all of this. They passed a similar broad gambling expansion law as you guys did back in late 2017. And here we are mid-2019. They're just getting their sports betting up and running. And there are five satellite casinos that have sort of just picked out their locations and are starting to break ground and get licensed that should be opening in the next couple years. So, you know, if I had to guess right now, I'd say we're maybe a year to 18 months from a full rollout of sports betting, and maybe 3 to 5 years from these casinos starting to pop up.
What's the realistic site somewhere in the country where we'll see the first actual sports stadium with a professional team that plays in it start to have gambling windows there in the venue itself?
I think Illinois has a real good chance. There's another, the D.C. has also legalized sports betting, our nation's capital. And, you know, there's some stadiums and arenas there that may have sports betting on site as well. We have starting to approach that in New Jersey, where Meadowlands is starting to let bookmakers lease space inside to sort of promote their product, but not to actually book sports, book bets. So I don't have a good feel for the appetite among the arenas and stadiums in Illinois, but I clearing the way for them to do so, I think it provides a really interesting opportunity for these owners.
Couple more minutes here with Eric Ramsey, who is a contributor to LegalSportsReport.com as well as Online Poker Report. And you can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Ramsey. That is Eric with a C. Another concern that some folks had earlier in the program today, because this is all very new to us here in Illinois. And like I said, you know, you've kind of seen it developing all over the country. Some concerns that some folks had earlier today was kind of the integrity of the game being, you know, under question or anything. Like, what's going to stop a player from betting on the game? And you know, slippery slope and all of those things. Is there any evidence to that whatsoever? Is that a realistic concern, or are people just kind of afraid of something that they don't really know too much about quite yet?
It is absolutely a realistic concern, and we have plenty of examples throughout our history of issues with college sports in particular and the gambling world. It's not a great, can be a dangerous mix. From the industry standpoint, folks in Illinois are certainly betting on college sports right now from their houses. And if we're going to be doing that, we'd rather have it be done in a regulated environment where we can keep an eye on it and make sure everything is happening on the up and up, where we can monitor the integrity, the luxury we don't have with personal bookmakers on the corner or offshore websites. So the idea behind regulating sports betting is to shine a light on this activity so that we can ensure the integrity of it.
And now that we see, you know, somewhere in the range of 15, 16 states, it there feels like it's more of a professional sports focus too. But you reference amateur sports, college sports, the folks are already betting on it. Here in the state of Illinois, you're not going to be allowed to have any schools, any university events that are within state, you know, Northwestern, Illinois, Loyola basketball, whomever. They're not going to be able to be bet on at any of the windows here at these facilities within Illinois. Where do you see things going as it relates to college sports now that sports betting is becoming more prevalently legalized?
I'll say, to some of your previous callers' points, I think this is also a big win for the bookies and the offshore sites because of this exact reason. Now folks have an understanding that sports betting is legal, and when they want to bet on Loyola come Final Four time, they're going to find an offshore site to do that on. So I think that is the big concern. I'm also somewhat concerned about the NCAA's power to restrict wagers, which is also in this law. I would not at all be surprised to see the NCAA move to restrict all collegiate wagering in Illinois. I have nothing to base this on except for the conversations I've heard from the NCAA over the last few years. And if they have an opportunity in a state to restrict all wagering, they're going to take it. So also a little bit worried about that opening in the Illinois law.
Eric, thanks a lot for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate it. I don't want to speak for Anthony here, but we're pretty novice when it comes to sports gambling and everything. So we've been learning all afternoon from Joe Ostrowski, our guy earlier, who was in Springfield, now from you. A lot of great information. We appreciate it. But if there's anything huge that we did glance over, can you let us know now before we let you off the line here?
No, I think you're good. And kudos to Joe for his coverage there in Springfield. I think he's got a real good handle on it. So, yeah, good job from all you guys. Enjoying your coverage of it.
All right. Thanks again for your time, Eric. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Likewise, guys. How are you going?
That is Eric Ramsey. He writes about regulated gambling for Legal Sports Report. And I advise you, if you're interested in this at all, you should follow Eric on Twitter at Eric_Ramsey. And, you know, that's going to be one of the things now that remains to be seen, Anthony. And it's something that that some callers brought up earlier. How many people, now that it is readily available and you're going to be able to do it so easily, will be like, okay, well, I had no interest in this before, but now I want to check it out a little bit because it's supposedly all on board, all on the level, and it's going to be pretty much anywhere you need it at any time very quickly.
It certainly feels like it. And here in the city of Chicago, you know, whenever the project begins for the mega casino that's going to be in the city, you know, there's going to be a number of areas around town.
I'm excited for the Chicago casino. I am.
It's you can go to other major cities and you see them. They're exactly. there. They're available. To have one here in Chicago is going to be fun. You know, I've lived in cities that had casinos before. Yeah. It didn't ruin my life. I hope it's not going to ruin too many other lives when we have one here that's directly in the city of Chicago. It's one thing to drive out to a riverboat and make the effort to do that. You know, especially if it's somewhere within walking distance. It probably won't be walking distance in the part of the city I live in, but it'll be fairly easily accessible.
I don't think they're going to build it in the loop. No,
you don't think
I don't think so.
No? No. All right.
Probably
well,
not.
Then with that in mind, I'll probably have to get on a train or something when I really want to go.
Take the blue line or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's the biggest thing for me anyway, and that might be just my perspective of it. But the thing that does pique my curiosity about this the most is that we will have a proper casino here within the city. You know, you don't need to go to Hammond. You don't need to go to Rosemont or like you said, the boat or anything like that. I think it's going to be really interesting and fun, honestly, just to be able to go to the casino if you want to and have that little bit of Vegas right here in Chicago, Illinois. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. At about 7:35, we are going to replay Joe Ostrowski when he joined us basically right after the bill passed through the Senate. Joe has been in Springfield pretty much since the beginning of time, it seems like, if you ask him about it and if you ask his kids because they forgot
right,
what he looked like.
Long enough for his kids to
and if he
wonder
was ever
where
coming
daddy
home,
is.
Right, he went out for a pack of cigarettes and came home 20 years later. So we're going to replay our conversation with Joe around 7:35. But until then, I want to get back out to the calls and the text messages. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you send us a text message. And you can weigh in on anything we've been covering throughout the course of the program. We got in here, just about after 4:30 today. It's been flying by, quite frankly. And we have covered the sports gambling bill passing pretty strongly. We've talked a little bit about the White Sox. We talked Cubs with Jared Willis. Anything that you would like to comment on, we would be we would love to hear it. Well, I don't want to speak for you. I would love to hear it. Would you like to hear it as well?
If it's been screened properly, then there's potential. Well, yes, I don't want
to
promise.
I trust Julio to be able to screen the calls properly. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. My name is Kevin Zipek. That is Anthony Heron. We're here until 8 on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.